The British artist Cornelia Parker, OBE, never does things by halves. Over the course of her career, she has taken on big themes, big moments in history, and exploded them, sometimes literally. Her installation works mesmerize audiences both in their sheer form as well as in their ideas. Now, a survey of her work is being held at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney. And Cornelia joins me now. And given how many tiny pieces there are in this exhibition, it's fitting that the MCA curator, Rachel Kent, is here as well to shed some light on the art. Cornelia and Rachel, welcome to the Art Show.
Hi.
Thank you both for coming onto the show. Now, Cornelia, probably your best known work is called Cold Dark Matter. It was created by exploding a garden shed. Can you fill in some of the gaps?
Yeah, it was a garden shed full of objects you normally find in a garden shed. So I collected those objects together from various friends' sheds. We have these things called car boot sales in Britain, where people usually sell everything out of their garage. And then I asked for sponsorship from the British Army, and they blew up my shed for me. I wanted to make an explosion for this sort of contemporary gallery space that's like a warehouse, had no natural light. So I wanted to make a piece with a light source. I wanted to blow up a whole house, but I couldn't really. So the shed was a kind of once removed, and the shed used to have a light on inside it. And so that light is still there at the center of the explosion. Then all the fragments, I've suspended all the fragments around the light bulb.
So the British Army, first of all, I mean, I can imagine that people may come to the Army and have some perhaps slightly unusual requests. Were they quite happy to do this for you?
Yeah, curiously, I didn't have any resistance at all. They seemed very keen. I think perhaps they like blowing things up. So I think it was, it was a brilliant thing. We went out on their army sort of field. There was a field where they would experiment blowing things up themselves. So I think this was quite a just another of their exercises.
What did you put in the shed before it was exploded?
It's like a universal garden shed. It's got anything from kids' toys to bikes to, paint pots, toys that, nobody threw away, hair curlers. Had our next door neighbour's motorbike in it, had a pram. So there was all these kind of objects that I didn't know what would happen to them when I blew them up, or when the army blew them up. I think there's a tuber in there, but you can't find it. It's just little blackened bits.
How extraordinary! Well, Rachel Kent, the curator at the MCA, and of this exhibition, maybe a good time to bring you in. What was it like installing this work? Can you describe the work as it now looks at the MCA?
Well, it looks just like a great big explosion that's been frozen in time. So you walk into this very, very big, high gallery space. There are no lights in the gallery. There's just this one single bulb in the middle of the room, and fanning outwards around the bulb, you've got the smaller objects from within the shed, then you've got the bigger objects. They're all sort of twisted and disfigured. Some of them are slightly burnt. And then the final layer, I guess, is these shards of timber, as well as a window with no glass that sort of all hover in space. So it's like you're looking at the explosion frozen in time.
Wow, how strangely beautiful. Cornelia, you have a lot of drama in your work, but you also have a lot of violence. For instance, the sawn-up shotgun. So why violence?
Well, there's a lot of violence around, in the world, that we just fed it day in, day out, through the media. And I don't know, I think my work's must be about sort of controlling violence or formalising violence. For example, the shotgun you're mentioning, it was a sawn-off shotgun that had been used in a robbery. The guys were caught by the police, and then the police decommissioned the gun by chopping it into bits so they could give it to me. And I, so it's called sawn up shotgun. So, you know, it's been sawn off by criminals and being sawn up by the police. So it's a kind of collaboration. Quite like the the loads of cuts. So it's not really violent. It's been diffused.
I was watching the TV over the last couple of days and watching an interview with an author who's written a book about the five necessary sins for women. I think that's the title of the book. And she was saying about how violence, as you say, of course, surrounds us. But she said that particularly for women, that women have to live amongst extraordinary violence. Is this a reason, another reason for your work?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's... I mean, I had a violent father, so, you know, so that perhaps has got something to do with it. But on the whole, I think I don't really come in contact with violence. You know, there's violence all around you. You know, in London we have stabbings. There's one on the next street. A friend of mine's son got stabbed. I mean, so those kind of things are there on the fringes of your consciousness. And they are for anybody who lives in a big city, really. You know, and then terrorist, you know, attacks in London. Several of them. I don't know. So you always have there's always a bit of an antenna. I mean, if you're talking about violence to women in particular... luckily, I haven't experienced that since my childhood.
Yes. Rachel, these works with guns, I can't imagine that was easy dealing with customs and bringing them into Australia.
Funny you should mention that. All of our exhibitions pose different challenges, but this one in particular has been, you know, quite a ride. but we did actually have to get a temporary firearms license, which I thought was hilarious, to be honest, because as Cornelia said, all of these guns are objects that have been rendered completely unusable.
You got to kind of love customs for their strictness, though, I guess, in terms of bringing in potential, although clearly impossible violence with these guns.
Yes.
Yes. So, Cornelia, on the flip side, you have this extraordinary piece, War Room, which remembers those killed in the violence of World War One, but this is using... one could say much more humble materials. Can you tell me how you created this work? Because it really is extraordinary.
It's made of red perforated paper from the poppy factory in Richmond in London. And it's, you know, these pieces of paper, which are about a foot across, have got various holes in them, which are to do with, you know, manufacturing the poppies. And when I saw it in the factory, I had a real sort of hairs on the back of my neck moment when I thought, oh, wow, this is really interesting material. You know, this is a, you know, it's kind of very simple in a way, but it's very resonant. So I asked them if I could have quite a large quantity of the paper, you know, that's, they usually scrap, they don't use it for anything, and created the work for a museum show in Manchester, calling it War Room. It was very interesting material because when it was shown, I've hung it in two layers. It's like a tent, giant tent, and the layers create this moiré, which makes you feel very slightly seasick. It's got these white holes, you know, made by the absence of the poppy. Mm. But the, you know, white poppy is, you know, a peace poppy.
Yes, it's just such an incredibly beautiful work. Now, perhaps one could say with more humour, although I suppose it depends on your feelings about UK politics at the moment, but in 2017, you were invited to become the UK's official election artist. Has this been a role prior to you doing it?
Yes. Okay. It's been going for 20 years.
Oh, great.
And I was the first female to do it. And it was a snap election, so there was no time for them to get six artists together and interview them and all the rest of it. So I was asked if I'd be interested in doing it. And normally I would have turned it down. But what was happening was, you know, at the time I was thinking of doing this was Trump had been elected. Brexit was about to happen. You know, it just felt like now's the time to be involved in politics. Mm. And I was anyway, so I might as well just, you know, make work about it. So it was a big ask, but it was kind of, you know, pretty, it's like a roller coaster ride.
So the video, which is a result of, well, part of the work that you did for the election, is called Left, Right and Centre, filmed in the House of Commons. Is this going to be part of the show, of the survey show as well?
Yeah, it is.
Great. Can you briefly describe it?
It's set, half of it's set at night in the House of Commons, with no light, you know, except the light from a drone, which is flying around with a light on it. And so, and there's another cameraman on the floor who's filming what he's doing. So you don't know it's House of Commons until sort of the last shot or two, and that it's a drone. When you pan back, you see what's happening. And then the next day, the drone comes back into that house, and it disperses all these newspapers, which are in stacks on the central desk, like the dispatch box desk. These newspapers are being read by MPs. They belong to the House of Commons. They're the ones they read. And there's a huge amount of right-wing ones and very little left-wing ones. So I just put them in the, you know, piles of newspapers, depending on which side of the house that they refer to. These are the things that the drone disrupts. The drone just basically dive bombs the table and mingles all the newspapers up and all the headlines, and it just becomes this kind of, you know, almost like a fiasco. You know, the whole place is covered in newspapers, and then the drone flies out into darkness.
And is that the point that you wanted to make, that the election was like a fiasco?
Yeah. No, I think it was a real mess. But also what's happening, you know, I mean, at the moment it's even more of a mess. So
Cornelia, we haven't unfortunately got time to talk about your other works, the Magna Carta, the work that uses soil taken from underneath the Leaning Tower of Pisa. But I would encourage people listening to this interview to go, if they can, to see your exhibition, because your work is truly brilliant.
Oh, great.
so just my final question to you, and maybe to Rachel as well. Looking at your work, it almost seems like you're searching for literally a new dimension.
What I like about the suspension, I mean, there's things in the show that are suspended in different ways, not just literally. It's what you fight all your life, gravity, until it finally gets you. Yeah, no, I like the idea of making work that's not grounded and ephemeral.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that, Cornelia, I know you've often talked about the idea of, you know, the history of, you know, say British sculpture in the 20th century. It's very heavy, very solid. It's always on a pedestal. You know, your work is airborne. It's chaotic. And, you know, you often say, you know, it's how the world is. You know, it is about chaos, disorder, trying to find equilibrium. It's not this sort of stable, grounded time that we live in right now.
The artist Cornelia Parker, OBE, and MCA curator Rachel Kent. And Cornelia Parker's exhibition opens this Friday at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney, and it runs, thankfully, until mid-February.